Extreme showmanship, a flair for the dramatic, and chronic shirtlessness made icons of professional wrestlers in the 80s and 90s. One stands out for his long hair, his eerily calm demeanor, and his slithering companions.
Jake the Snake Roberts enticing Randy Savage.
Look at that!
Roberts with a King Cobra. That's the creepiest looking snake I've ever seen in my life.
But as Jake the Snake's professional wrestling career faded, his personal life crumbled. His long decline and subsequent retirement was marred by drugs, alcohol, and severed family ties. The public first saw things going wrong in Jake's life in the gritty 1999 wrestling documentary Beyond the Mat. Things only got worse for Jake in the intervening years until fellow wrestler Diamond Dallas Page decided to bring Jake the Snake back from the brink. Their story is told in the documentary The Resurrection of Jake the Snake.
I feel like I'm suffocating. It makes me want to drink. So someone just because someone says I'm bad about you, you got thicker skin than that.
No, I don't. That's always been my god problem. I always worry about what everybody else thought about me and not what I feel about me.
Last September, I spoke with both stars of the film, Jake the Snake Roberts and Diamond Dallas Page. I was also joined by the film's director, Steve Yu, and I began the conversation by asking Jake about his long-standing battle with substance abuse.
It's just bad choices. I mean, wrestling is one of the most wonderful things to do that there is out there. I mean, you don't understand what it's like to go out and perform in front of people live, night in and night out, and be a part of that. It's absolutely fabulous. The only gripe that I have about it is, unfortunately, there are people in position to say, not you, not you, not you, you know, and somebody else gets the opportunity. And lots of times it has nothing to do with the ability of the athlete, you know. It's just a choice by the higher-ups. But I guess you have that in all sports, don't you?
Sure, but like other sports, I imagine that wrestling takes an enormous physical toll on the body. And was some of your addiction coming from self-medicating for pain that you experienced?
Yeah, but I mean, not
when we see you in the beginning of this movie, you're physically a mess. You're,
right.
I think you've got a new hip. You're having trouble just doing basic movements, walking around.
Right.
You've gotten overweight, as one would expect in that situation.
I didn't self-medicate for the physical pain. I self-medicated for the mental pain.
Yeah.
You know, that was my choice, you know. And, you know, I lost a family, you know. And sometimes when you go through a divorce, you just give up and roll over. And that's what I did. You know, I was devastated by that divorce. And I'm not the first person to be devastated by a divorce. And I won't
certainly
be the
not.
Last.
Yeah.
But, you know, wrestling, yeah, there were a lot of injuries. Still are. I got to have another hip done in about 2 months. But no, man, it's all choices. I made a lot of bad choices.
Diamond Dallas and Steve Yu, where did this project begin? When did you two get together and decide, we're going to save Jake the Snake and we're going to make a movie about it?
I don't think I ever went in there thinking I was going to save Jake. You know, I went in there because, first of all, the background is Steve and I have been working together for a while on a bunch of different projects. Another project we have is called Inspired the Movie. And, you know, when I finally caught back up with Jake, and the back notes to me and Jake are, I didn't start wrestling until I was 35 years old. My career didn't take off until I was 40. I became one of the biggest stars in the business, especially the 90s. I never would have hit that, you know, level of three-time world champion, main event or pay-per-views. Never would have happened without Jake's guidance and help. He helped me and believed in me, you know, when no one else did. And I always wanted to repay him. And my biggest thing was, you know, Jake wasn't in the Hall of Fame. He was outcast by everyone. No one believed him at all. Everybody had given up on him. But I remembered where he didn't give up on me, and he believed in me when nobody did. And I was talking to Steve about it, and I said, I just got done talking to Jake. I hadn't talked to him in a while. And, he said he sent him the program. I'd sent him a video of this disabled veteran that I had helped not only lose 140 pounds, but he couldn't walk without knee braces, back braces, and canes. I sent him the video, and he was, you know, like everyone is blown away by it. It's got like 12 million views now. And he said, okay, send me the program. I said, don't even get into the working out part. Just follow the food thing. You know, try to start eating real food again. And then when I brought it to Steve, he's like, oh, man, why don't you try to get him to move in with you in Atlanta? I was like, what? What do you mean get him to move in Atlanta? And he goes, everybody does it at home. They don't need me. He goes, yeah, but imagine how being in the positive environment that we have, if we have him, if he was actually do that. So that was the beginning, right, Steve?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that Dallas and I knew from trying to help others get healthy was that your environment really plays this huge component in your success. So
sure.
That was one of the reasons why, you know, I suggested that. I didn't really know what I was suggesting, I guess. but I felt like that would increase the odds that Jake would be successful. So that's why.
Well, yeah, you start the film, you guys go and you visit Jake at his home. Is it Texas where you guys find him? Yeah, and then you take him back to Atlanta, and Atlanta has a wrestling scene, owing to, I think, from the fact that Ted Turner had his WCW association based in Atlanta. So, Dallas, you're not the only professional wrestler living in Atlanta. There's a whole community there, right?
Absolutely. It's a bunch of you want to go wherever you can where your company is, but Atlanta is also an amazing place to fly in and fly out of pretty easily, you know?
Speaking of flying in and flying out, so here's a clip from one of the lower points in the film. Dallas, you go to pick up Jake from the airport, and he's drunk, but he's denying it.
Get your foot in the car.
No, get your foot in the car. Man. I'm a liar, and you're asking me to lie to you. So you go ahead and punch me in the face, do what you want to do.
You're telling me you're sober.
Right, I am, man.
So there's a point there, Dallas, where you thought that maybe you might be in over your head trying to help Jake both get back into shape, but also kick his addictions?
I knew it was going to be a handful. You got to remember, Jake, that what he did, I mean, he was doing coke, crack, booze, and pills every day. And to go 100% sober, you know, it was, you know, quite an undertaking. And, you know, big kudos to Jake just for even attempting that. And we're not a rehab center. He's just my buddy. You know, yeah, right. and I believe that all I really wanted was to help Jake get to walk away from the business with his head held high, because he's one, you know, if you take the top five guys of all time and really the top 10, those top 10 could interchange, and any one of them could be top five guys in our business of all time. Jake is one of those guys, and he was not being recognized because of bad decisions. You said it right in the beginning. So sure. Taking this journey, I knew it was going to be a handful. And right up before this, like we were there for about a week, and I'm talking about we were just buddy-buddy. Everything was great, you know, and Steve walked up to me, and he goes, dude, he goes, there's no conflict. He goes, if Jake does really well like this and keeps going forward, you know, there won't really be a movie. I go, dude. Just hold on.
Yeah, nobody's journey back from addiction is ever a straight line, right, Jake?
No, it's not, you know, and Dallas, you know, hit on it. You don't go from doing all that every day for years. I'm not talking about doing it for a week. I'm talking about doing it for 10 years, every day, cocaine, every day alcohol. I wouldn't get out of bed unless I had coke. And to go cold turkey, I still don't believe I did it. You know, I mean, I thought coming to Atlanta, I would last a week, and then Dallas would snap and throw my ass out. And he would have all the right reasons to do it, because I just, you know, I knew what I was. But after a week, I went for 2 weeks, and after 2 weeks, we did it again. And, you know, if he didn't have thick skin and if he didn't forgive me for the downs, man, I wouldn't have made it, because... you know, there were moments I was Jake, and then there was moments that I was a good guy, too.
So, Steve, what do you think the role of cameras played in helping Jake transition out of the very dark place that he was in? Did it help, or did it make it easier, or did it make it harder, the fact that you were making a movie of this process?
Yeah, I don't know that it helped. I mean, Jake had a negative experience with a documentary in the past, Beyond the Mat, so I think that in the beginning he was very apprehensive, and he didn't really trust what we were doing. So
Well, he trusted me enough. He didn't trust you.
Right. Yeah. Well, that was the only reason.
Get out of here, Steve, you.
Well, and that's the only reason why we were able to capture so many of these like really private moments is because of Dallas's relationship with Jake and Scott. So, you know, I don't necessarily think they helped or they hurt. I think that the fact that everybody working on the film, you know, along with Dallas, actually didn't just play the role of documenting. We actually, you know, we're actually like this one kind of dysfunctional family where we all try to help each other. And so I think that in the end, Jake hopefully realizes that, you know, we all care about him and we, you know, we all take care of each other. So I think that that's what made the biggest difference.
I want to tell you the cameras did help, because when you have to go back and look at yourself when you were high and drunk, and then you try to, and you're sitting there looking at yourself and you're hearing yourself say, I'm not drunk. And you're, Jesus Christ, you're messed up.
Yeah.
You know, and you had to look at yourself and know that, man, that's what I become. And I have a hard time watching the movie still, because I look at that guy and I hate that guy. I can't stand that guy. Used to, Dallas would say, dude, you know, everybody loves you except when you drink. And I'm like, dude, I'm no different when I drink. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Yeah, and you had to see it. We were confronted with it in the film.
Yeah. Because, you know, I feel like, you know, a drunk will make any excuse. Like, those guys are picking on me. Oh, my gosh. You know, a drunk can, you know, I can say yes to anything or no to anything, you know, and I can blame anybody, because the drunk doesn't have a problem. It's you're the problem, you know.
Right.
The biggest thing, Adam, you know, we all know this from being entertainers in the day. The magic starts when you turn the camera off. So we had cameras going all the time, and there would be some things that would start happening. I go, everyone, stop, just stop, Chris. I call one of my producers, Chris, or one of our other cameramen, Nathan, somebody get down here. Then boom, the cameras are there, and everybody knew to do that. That's why we caught so many things, and we did this in my house. And you know, it wasn't like my house. It's not like I had an office in my house. My house was my office. It was insane at times. It was amazing at other times. Overall, it was an experience that, because we captured it on film, that'll live forever. And I honestly believe it will help a lot of people.
That was my conversation with Jake the Snake Roberts and Diamond Dallas Page, stars of the pro wrestling documentary The Resurrection of Jake the Snake. Director Steve Yu was also there with us. More information about that documentary, The Resurrection of Jake the Snake, can be found at gpbnews.org. Coming up next, a new film festival wants to put more Gullah stories on screen. That's on Second Thought.